Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Glass, and I am praising the Lord that you were able to join me today and thanking God for His goodness, for His wonderful plans that He has ahead for His people. And even now, they are in process. You know, I think sometimes we get discouraged because we really don't see the hand of God moving in our lives the way we would like to or the way we think we want to see the manifestation of His presence and His glory. And yet, you know, God is continually at work. We just need the eyes to see and the ears to hear. He has so much for us. And beloved, this walk is a walk of faith. By faith, you know, there's an old song, faith unlocks the door. I know what it is. Prayer is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door. That is the blessing, the gift, the enabling that God has given to us. God has given to every man. Isn't what the scripture says? He's given to every man a measure of faith, and it's His faith. We can't manufacture the faith of God. We can't manufacture this spiritual belief, this evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. God imparts it into our hearts. In fact, He does that when we receive Him as Lord. In fact, if it wasn't for the wooing of the Holy Spirit, if it wasn't for the drawing of God the Father, we would not be able to confess Jesus as Lord. But praise God for His goodness. Praise God for His everlasting love and for His care and His unfailing efforts to bring us closer and closer to Him, regardless of what we might feel like. And so, as I begin to share the word of the Lord, let's just join our hearts in prayer, because I want you to get a glimpse, a revelation, to be stirred in your spirit with what God has established in the earth in this hour. And I'm talking about the communion of the saints. Father, right now, Lord, I thank You for Your anointing, Your enabling, Lord, which will take us beyond ourselves and take us out of ourselves. So, Lord, that we can see the bigger picture. We can get a glimpse of what the Spirit of God is doing, not only in this hour, but what Your grand, majestic plan has been throughout the ages. Father, let Your anointing be upon the delivery of the word, and Lord, upon every listener. Lord, I take authority over every work of the enemy, everything that would bring them down, that would discourage, that would distract them. Let every yoke of bondage be destroyed by Your anointing, Lord. In Jesus' name, I praise You and thank You for it. Praise God. Well, I'd like to minister on a subject that I haven't done in a very long time, and it's a wonderful, rich concept that God has established in the Word of God, and that we need to embrace and understand how rich the fellowship that God desires to bring us into. And we can only do that as we understand that Greek word koinonia. I'm talking about the communion of the saints. And that Greek word koinonia, which refers to communion, it comes from an adjective meaning common, literally, and it means a common participation or sharing in something. And I'd like to share five different meanings of this word that is used in Scripture. Now, the first couple of meanings have to do in a rather technical way. And to do that, let's look at the very first use of that word koinonia, which is an expression for a community of goods. So that first meaning is a community of goods. And there's a reference found in Acts, the second chapter, verses 42 through 47. This is referencing the early church. And in verse 42, the word begins, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily as such as should be saved." Praise God. So here we have one meaning of the word koinonia, and it's basically an expression for a community of goods. It's a socioeconomic practice that existed in the time of the early church. And what were the reasons for that? Well, there were some very practical reasons. They believed in the imminent return of the Lord, that he was due at any moment. And of course, there were poorer saints and Christians who were in Jerusalem, and they were cut off from self-support because, having become a Christian, they were ostracized from the Jewish synagogue. And then, of course, perhaps most importantly, there was an unselfish enthusiasm for God. The love of God so overwhelmed their hearts that no man said they had anything of their own, but they were willing to distribute, willing to share with all those who had need, and as a result, no one was in need. A beautiful example of and a practical working out of the love of Christ. Of course, we don't have that in today's world, but nonetheless, that is one meaning for koinonia. And then a second technical meaning of the word koinonia is a common participation and sharing. And this is specifically in terms of the contribution of finances and material resources to help the poor brethren. There is a special emphasis in Paul's teachings that Christians everywhere were members one of another. We were sharers in each other's wealth, whether spiritual or material. And if you remember, when there was some disturbance and upset because some Greek widows weren't receiving a portion of the daily distribution, that the apostles said, we need to give ourselves to prayer and a study of the word, and they organized the diaconia, the deacons, which was a daily distribution to the poor, and they placed the deacons of Philip, Stephen, over the this particular practical application of the love of Christ. So there was a common participation in sharing. It was a socioeconomic practice, but I would like us to really focus on a larger and deeper sense of the koinonia that God wants us to experience. The third meaning or concept of koinonia is the mutual sharing of privilege. And now think about that. Because you've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, that brought you into the new birth experience. You were born again. And as a result, you were birthed into God's kingdom of light. You were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into His marvelous light. And we're part, members one another, of the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. And so because of that, there are tremendous privileges. The entire blessings of the new covenant, the promises that God has given to us. And as Christians, we can manifest our communion or fellowship out of consciousness of a common participation in certain great spiritual blessings. Those who believe in Christ enjoy a common participation in Christ Himself, which binds them together in a holy unity. 1 Corinthians 1 and 10 says, "I beseech you, brethren, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Now, along with that mutual sharing of privileges, we can all shout hallelujah to that, right? But there's also a mutual sharing of duties and obligations. Let's look in the natural. In a natural family of a father and mother and children, well, there's certainly very many privileges being part of that natural family, but also God has meant there to be a mutual sharing of duties and obligations. In other words, as children grow, they are given responsibilities that are suitable for their age, you know, just small responsibilities at first, you know, learning how to comb their hair and brush their teeth and tie their shoes, and then they can go on to greater and greater responsibilities in terms of chores around the house. So the root meaning of that word koinonia, in terms of mutual sharing of duties and obligations, it is a partnership either in giving or receiving. Paul prays on behalf of Philemon that the sharing of his faith may become effectual, or in other words, that the love inspired by his faith may come into full operation. This concept of koinonia is expressed in scriptures found in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. And beloved, acts of love or charity spring from our Christian faith. In other words, because we have had the opportunity to experience and to be blessed by the many privileges that belong to us, because we are Christians, a member of the body of Christ, there is also a mutual sharing of duties and obligations. And beloved, that's basically what coming into maturity is. You know, a child in Christ or an infant, they just need to be taught things. They need to be nurtured. They need to grow. But as that individual comes into maturity, then they begin to have the mind and the heart of Christ, which is to reach out and help and minister to others. Amen. Praise God. Well, my time has come to a conclusion, and I must bring this broadcast to an end. I invite you to tune in tomorrow, and we'll just pick right up and go on with the other meanings of koinonia. But I do want to thank you for listening. And if you have prayer needs, know that God has raised up this ministry to stand as a partner in prayer. And I'm so rejoicing for the answers and testimonies to prayer that are coming in. Whatever your need is, it's not too great for God. The announcer will give you our contact information. Thank you for your prayer support as well as for your financial giving. God bless you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.